And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, as we are joined by the voice of the KU Jayhawks, as we are every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Brian Haney is with us as KU owns the state of Oklahoma last week, since we last spoke, knocking off Oklahoma convincingly, 78-55, and then a big win over Oklahoma State earlier this week on the road, one of the hottest teams in the Big 12, knocking them off by 11. And Brian, I tell you, you couldn't ask for a better week for KU. You get two wins, both on the road. And Texas loses to Texas Tech, and here we are, three-way tie atop the Big 12, and one of those teams comes to Lawrence on your home floor on Saturday, which will be a tremendous atmosphere between Baylor and Kansas. Yeah, pretty good last week for KU, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was, and obviously we continue to see the development of some of the supporting cast players around Jalen Wilson. Obviously on Monday, or Tuesday, I should say, it was Grady Dick that stepped to the forefront, a career-high 26. On Saturday, we were talking about Ernest Uday and his breakout, 4-for-4 shooting with 2 blocks, 2 steals, and I really thought the official score flighted him on at least one more block. He was tremendous, and as we've talked about on the show, he completely changes the trajectory of this team if he becomes reliable and dependable. So it's a situation where, you know, Kansas all of a sudden goes from playing the smallest 5-man in the Big 12 conference to having 6'11 with a 7'4 wingspan, and that's a total game changer. So hopefully we'll continue to see his emergence. You know, Zubi Ejiofor was back last couple of games, and he gave Kansas some good minutes. We're going to feature him on Hawk Talk tonight, which will be fun. But, you just look up and down the lineup and you see the green light kind of coming on for a lot of these guys. And for a lot of these guys, you know, we were wondering about what would it look like when we left Ames, Iowa 2 weeks ago, because they looked passive, they looked hesitant, a little bit sluggish. That was a game when Kansas scored 53 as a team, and Jay Will had half that with 26, and the rest of the starters combined for just 18. And we looked like a team, and I may have told you this, that probably would exit in the first round or two of the NCAA tournament, also in Iowa, by the way, if we go to Des Moines, if we played like that. Now, the team we've looked like since looks like a team that will be a one seed that right now leads the nation in quad one wins with 12 of them, a team that, absolutely, you know, could return to the Final Four and repeat as national champions. We saw Jay Wright say as much. And so, you know, the key amongst all things has just been seeing these other guys realize that, yes, Jalen is spectacular. He's an All-American. We love him. But for this club to truly realize its optimal potential, we all have to stay aggressive. We can't just defer and watch him do his thing. And a night like Tuesday night where he was in foul trouble made that point even more apparent. And so it was really great to see Grady Dick emerge, because keep in mind, he only shot it 5 times on Saturday in Norman, didn't attempt a single 3-pointer versus the Sooners. So to see a more aggressive and kind of alpha dog version of Grady on Tuesday was absolutely just what the doctor ordered.
Well, and I think that says a lot about Grady Dick, too, because there are some kids, especially young kids, and in particular a freshman, that be like, I got to get my shots, you know? And in that game against Oklahoma, I'm watching that one from start to finish saying, you know, they did a good job defensively on him, and because of some of their defense and overplaying on Grady, that opened up things for other players, and Grady didn't force anything, as you mentioned, didn't attempt a 3-point shot. And, you know, I'll wait my turn. There'll be another game, and boom, there it is, Stillwater. He hit that 3 right before halftime. That was a huge play. He has such a quick release. But no doubt Grady played great. And then Kevin McCuller, I mean, I still like the guy. He's one of my favorites. I think he is a glue guy. I said it the other day, you know, the other team in the state, you know, down the road, Kansas State, struggling right now defensively, and there is no guy on their team right now that you'd say is a defensive stopper. And if you put Kevin McCuller on K-State, that'd be a whole different team, and there just doesn't seem to be somebody that can stop people for K-State on a regular basis, and KU has that. And to me, that's one of the biggest differences between KU and K-State is KU can get more stops on a more regular basis, and part of that is DeJuan Harris, and part of that, of course, is, and it's a collective team effort, but Kevin McCuller and DeJuan Harris are two of the better defenders in the country at their respective positions, and they don't have to score to be super effective, although it is nice to have, isn't it?
It is. It's a difference maker when they do. When DeJuan is aggressive, like we've seen in the last few weeks, and I know he was a little quieter with 5 on Tuesday, but had a 9-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. You know, you look before that, 3 of his previous 4 games, 16, 17, and 18 points. And what that forces the defense to do is come all the way out and contest if he's taking threes, respect the dribble drive if he's on the move, and therefore you can't clog the paint by sagging back in the middle and kind of junking it up because he's not looking to be a threat and he's just kind of whipping it around the perimeter. So that makes Kansas much more dangerous. When Kevin McCullough's hitting those corner pocket three balls, it makes him much more dangerous. But your point was about defense, and yes, you know, DeJuan's one of the best at getting his hand in passing lanes and getting steals, getting his hand in the cookie jar and picking somebody's pocket. And Kevin McCullough is one of the best one-on-one defenders in the country and has been for the last three seasons, each of the last two as a finalist for National Defensive Player of the Year. So we know what we have in him. I think, as I alluded to earlier, with the emergence of Ernest Udeh, not just the blocks and steals, look at the deflection numbers. Yeah. And I know those aren't on the standard box score, but we'll talk to Coach Self about that tonight, something else they track and chart. I mean, he's getting his hands on everything. And whether it culminates in a steal or just bats it out of bounds, that 7'4 wingspan that the rest of the league kind of hasn't caught up on just yet. They're still figuring out this guy can reach everything right now, and he's got great instincts and quick reflexes, and that is already proving to be a big difference maker and should continue to as his confidence just grows and grows.
Absolutely. The voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, is with us every Thursday, brought to you by the fine folks over Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Millen Boulevard or call them at 738-5701. Can you give us an update on the health status of McCullough? I know, obviously, the rolling ankle late in the game in Stillwater. DeJuan Harris, I understand, has a bit of an ankle issue as well. How are they as they head into the big showdown Saturday against Baylor?
We'll find out today at 1:40 when Bill Self addresses the media. The guys didn't practice yesterday and both got treatment. You know, with McCullough, at the time, I was really worried because the body language, we watched him mouth to Coach Self as he hobbled off. I heard it pop. And he's got a chronic history with ankle injuries going back to his high school career and especially at Texas Tech. As Coach Self said, he missed weeks with a couple of ankle sprains at Texas Tech. And Coach Self said this one was the worst one he's had since he's been at KU. The previous one came in Lexington. He didn't miss any time, and we had to turn around and play on Tuesday after a Saturday night game. So that was a good sign. He knows how to manage him. He knows how to, you know, respond to his body and the treatment and get the most out of that process because he's gone through it so much. But the sad reality of ankle injuries is the more you have them, the more vulnerable and susceptible you are to having them again. And so that'll certainly be something to watch with him. But got to have him because this is the best triumvirate of guards you'll face all year, not just in the Big 12, but in the country in terms of a guard trio. And so you'd love to have him on the perimeter, if at all possible, come Saturday when Jayhawks host the Baylor Bears.
We talked about how it was a great week for Kansas. Not only did the Jayhawks win two games and win them by, you know, double digits on the road in Oklahoma, but Texas lost to Texas Tech, and so now here we are, three-way tie atop the Big 12 with five games to play, and KU gets Baylor coming up on Saturday. You and I were talking before we went on the air. If KU can win the next two games, man, they're in tremendous shape, aren't they?
They really are. It's obviously a situation where you don't have to win the next two, but if you did, just based on the remaining schedules, Baylor has the toughest remaining five games. Texas, you could argue, has the second toughest once they get done hosting Oklahoma this week. And so if Kansas could beat the Bears in a home court advantage game on Saturday, you know, a place where Baylor has struggled historically up here, and then somehow beat TCU, who we expected to see Miles and Lampkin return for last night. They practiced full go on Monday, and then day of, TCU announces they're still out. And so, you know, 3 weeks now they've been without these guys, and the bulk of the league hasn't had to face them on this turn in the double round robin schedule. It would be the expectation that, you know, Kansas ends up having to face them on their first night back or second night back. But either way, we've seen TCU take a tumble because Miles was the league's top player in the preseason and was going to be first team all Big 12 until his injury. And we all know how big of a force Eddie Lampkin could be. So we'll be interested to see what that matchup looks like in terms of who's healthy and who's not on Monday. But if you were to win and get a full game on Baylor and split that head-to-head by winning at home on Saturday with ESPN game day in the house and all that, and then beat TCU, then your remaining three games are two home games against two teams in the bottom three in Texas Tech and West Virginia, and then the road trip to Austin. And the hope would be that you would have it wrapped up before you go to Austin. So that's where if you could somehow sweep this next 48 hour stretch from Saturday to Monday, you're really in prime position, so long as you don't stub your toe at home versus Tech or West Virginia. So that's why it's such a pivotal stretch. You don't absolutely have to have it, but we talked for a while now on these reports about trying to lock it up before you head to Austin for the season finale in what should be a top 10 head-to-head. You don't want to have to make that a must-win game. So that's where this next, two-game stretch is so crucial for Kansas.
Yeah, and what you're basically saying is you go 13-5 in this conference, you win it outright. You go 12-6, you're probably getting a share of the title with maybe one or two other teams.
And we've said that all along.
Yes, we did.
That even after the home loss to TCU, the recipe is go 8-1 at home, 5-4 on the road. And you're going to get some help at some point. We didn't expect that help to necessarily come from Texas Tech on Monday night, but it did, and now it really opens back up to where 13-5 wins it outright, and 12-6 is probably a three-way tie.
All right, biggest key in the game on Saturday against Baylor, who, after starting 0-3 in conference play, they've won 9 of the last 10 in the Big 12.
Yeah, their guards are tremendous, as I said, and so I think Kansas needs to start out and play from out in front, not allow Flagler and Cryer and George to catch fire and gain confidence and momentum. And, when we've performed poorly at home, we've dug ourselves holes. And that 22-point hole versus TCU, who had, fast guards and great athletes, much like Baylor does, proved to be insurmountable. We need to punch them in the mouth early. We need to make their shots 2 or 3 feet further from where they're normally used to taking them, which means you're playing them out beyond the perimeter, being right there on the catch. Don't allow them to get rhythm and confidence and take this game over like we saw TCU do. If you do that, it should be the most special atmosphere of the year with ESPN College Game Day and everything that's on the line. And I think Kansas could separate and win this thing by a few possessions. If you allow them to settle in, it could be a long afternoon, and that's what KU's trying to avoid.
We've talked about this, I think, once before on the show, and of course, with the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, the Chiefs have become the loved ones, the new guys on the block when they won the Super Bowl that first time, to now kind of the villain, that people are tired of it, right? Outside of Kansas City, you're tired of it. Obviously, people got tired of the Yankees winning on those World Series championships over the years. Maybe the Celtics, the Lakers, you get tired of all that, too, or the Warriors been hot. And I know one thing that's true, and you know this as well as I do, that everybody else in the Big 12 and even across the country are tired of hearing about Kansas in regards to all the conference titles they won in a row, how many conference titles they have, all the number one seeds they get, and then now on top of that, they won a national championship a year ago. And where I'm going with this is I had somebody the other day ask me and said, why, how does Kansas do it? Like, how do they do it? Every single, my friend said, you guys lost 2 first round draft picks and you're top 5 in the toughest conference in America. How do you do it? And I said 2 words, Bill Self, because that's the constant during this whole run is Bill Self. But Brian, I want to throw this out for you before the off the wall question. You know, Coach Self very, very, very well. I look at North Carolina and Kansas. They met in the national championship game last year. Carolina was up 15 at halftime. KU came back and won. KU loses 2 first-round picks. They lose David McCormick. And you have North Carolina has everybody back from that team except for Brady Manick, and they got a transfer to replace him from Northwestern. They had 3 top 100 freshmen coming in, and North Carolina preseason number 1 is in danger of not making the tournament. They're 8-7 in a weaker conference in the ACC. They're on the bubble right now, and if their name wasn't North Carolina, I don't think they'd even be on the bubble. They have 0, count them, 0 quad 1 wins. 0. Bill Self, I think you said they have 9. KU does, the most in the country.
12.
I'm sorry. I shortchanged him, for crying out loud. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at North Carolina and all they had back and what Kansas had, and I'm just sitting here going, dear Lord, can you imagine if Bill Self was able to have Carolina and that crew? They'd be number 1 or at least number 2. I know that for a fact because he's got a team in the toughest conference in America, lost 2 first-round picks and David McCormick, and he's playing freshman with some critical minutes, and they're 5th in the country, and really, honestly, especially if they beat Baylor coming up on Saturday, are in the driver's seat to win the Big 12 again. Can you just attest to Bill Self? And I know you've talked so glowingly of him. He's the best coach in the country actively now. There's no doubt about that. But it is amazing to me that we see Carolina do this run last year, and, oh, well, this what great coaching job it is. Maybe it's just that they got hot. They just got hot. Bill Self and Kansas, I'm not saying they're always hot, but they're no worse than a four seed every single year he's been there. And they roll over the roster. They have freshmen. They have bigs. He goes without a big this year for most of the year. He's a 6'7" kid playing the five, and they're still atop the Big 12. It is fairly remarkable, isn't it?
More than fairly. It's maybe the most remarkable thing that I've ever witnessed in modern-day college basketball, because as you go back to the 14 straight streak, that was in an era where the Big 12 had guys like Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin and Buddy Hield and just unbelievable talent that were lottery picks and yet self just kept winning. It took three different coaches at UCLA 13 years to win, you know, their 13 straights of the conference titles that set the original mark. He did it in a modern day era where every year there were heavyweight contenders and Kansas just kept winning. And the fact that, you know, you're talking about potentially a 17th Big 12 title in his 20 seasons in a league this good, a league that's had a national champion each of the last 2 years, would have had 2-1 seeds had a bracket come out in 2020, including Kansas, and Tech was 12 seconds away from being national champs in 2019. I mean, this has been college basketball's best conference without a doubt, and he just continues to dominate within it. But nationally, you know, you look at the one seeds and the fact that he's been on an incredible roll in that regard as well. Again, if you include 2020, you're talking about 10 in a 17-year stretch, which is just unheard of. The 30-win seasons as well. I mean, it's something that when you simply take a look around the rest of the college basketball landscape, everybody, even the blue bloods, even the Hall of Fame coaches, are allowed one rebuilding year or one year in which they just didn't quite have it. Injuries piled up. Ball didn't bounce the right way, whatever. You know, and Kansas, the lowest they've ever been on Selection Sunday under Self is a 4 seed, which basically means you were one of the top 16 teams in the country at the end of a 5-month grind. It's unreal, his model of consistency. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. And obviously, you know, we're closest to it, so we're a little bit biased, but this includes all blue bloods. This includes all top 25 teams. You know, they've been in the top 10, let alone the AP top 25. They've been in the top 10 for now 2 years straight, the longest active streak, not even exiting the top 10 of the polls. That's nuts.
Insane.
And so, you know, you've got other schools that are falling out of the rankings altogether or out of the field of 68 altogether, like you're talking about with Carolina. And it just, the expectations just never seem to change. The results never seem to change in terms of conference supremacy and Selection Sunday standing. And once you get to March Madness, I mean, that is such a difficult format to determine whether or not a season was a success or not, because there's no margin for error. One bad matchup, one untimely injury, it all comes to a screeching halt. It's the most difficult and most unfair postseason in American sports culture, hands down. So don't, you know, judge the book solely based on how the back cover looked with the final format of the postseason. Look at the body of work over the previous 5 months, and when you look at that, nobody's done it better, not even close, for the last 20 years than first ballot Hall of Famer Bill Self.
Well said. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. I was originally going to ask you what you think is the worst holiday, because some people don't like Valentine's Day, and some people, you know, kind of get sick of hearing about it. But I changed my mind after something I read this morning. Did you know, are you aware, that Patrick Mahomes is superstitious and he wears red underwear for every Chiefs football game? Chad Henne, the now retired backup quarterback for the Chiefs, he revealed this on a podcast, apparently, that Patrick Mahomes wears red underwear. I hope it's not the exact same pair every single time. And hopefully he washes it. And that's just gross anyway. But hey, whatever works for Patrick, I don't care. It helps my team win championships. I'm cool with it. But what is the oddest or silliest superstition that either you have or you know of someone else has?
Oh, wow. That's a great one. Well, you know, Coach Self obviously blows on his hands when he walks out the tunnel. That was something that started back in his very first year on a draftier night where the doors were open and he felt the cold air coming in, and then he started winning and kept doing it. He had another tradition that I think he finally stopped a couple of years ago when he was trying to be healthier dietary-wise and that kind of thing. But he used to have an assistant coach bring him a single McDonald's cheeseburger.
Really?
On game days of home games. That was their routine.
Huh.
And you know, I don't know what he got on it. They somehow got in the habit of doing it. It was the same coach, same order every time. I don't think they've done it for a couple of years, but I mean, there was a stretch where, you know, in the midst of 14 straight, if they were at home, you had to drop that off. So that's a pretty peculiar one, too. You know, I love some of the other sports ones over the years. There used to be a Cubs pitcher named Turk Wendell who brushes teeth between innings, and there's even a baseball card of his that features him brushing his teeth. There were other guys that, you know, I think it was Jason Terry, former shooting guard back in the day, that had to eat a bucket of chicken before every game. I don't know what that would do to your digestive system, but that was his routine. He had to have it. And it felt like psychologically he was going to play better, and he also played with two pairs of socks on for some reason. You got all kinds of crazy superstitions, but I think the bottom line is it's about routine and repetitive tendencies that they just get you in the right headspace. And whether there's anything magical to them or not, if it gives you an extra degree of comfort because you're doing it the same way every time, then by all means go for it. And I think clearly it's worked for some of those guys.
Do you have a superstition you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, mine's a little bit more faith-based, but I for the last 7 years, ever since taking over the call as voice of the Jayhawks, I walk a lap around the concourse of the fieldhouse or wherever we're playing, whether it's Madison Square Garden or Rupp Arena or somewhere in between, and just kind of lift the broadcast and all my gratitude, you know, up to the heavens, because I'm just so thankful to be in this spot and have a chance to live my dream. And I'd read a book called Circle Makers by Mark Batterson, pastor in Washington, D.C., who talked about there's nothing magical about, you know, praying in a circular fashion, but it gets you in a state of a very focused mind and allows you to really focus on, you know, what you're praying over. And so, sorry to get preachy on you there, but it's something that's special to me. And if you ever see me walking in the field out for a game, that's what I'm doing. And I've done it every single game for 7 years straight. And I guess you could say that it's rhythm and routine. And so, by some degree, if I ever didn't do it, I'd probably worry that the call wouldn't be good or we'd lose. Yeah. But it's really more about, you know, putting it up and having an attitude of gratitude heading into each and every call. So that's my routine / I guess.
Yeah. No, it's very cool, and I appreciate you sharing that with us and our listeners. Well, you've got two big games to call. You'll go through those routines again. You got Baylor coming to town. What a showdown. Two top 10 teams at 2:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake. And then, of course, the quick turnaround, as you said, on the road on Monday against TCU. Best of luck and safe travels to Fort Worth coming up on Monday. And we will talk about the two games coming up next week with you.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Take care. You too. We appreciate you as well. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.